And welcome back to the Demon Trash Podcast. Hey, Trashlings. Welcome back to the Demon Trash Podcast. It's your boy, Carol, a.k.a. Papa Trash.
And me, Avery, a.k.a. Baby Demon.
We're keeping that one.
That's fine. I'm sick of you. Me pointing at me. I'm sick of you.
Anyway, hey guys.
Welcome.
Welcome back to another episode.
We took a little bit of break, not because we really wanted to, just because we've been so busy with the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Adding anything on top of it would have just been like beyond burnout, like implosion.
Yeah. And the reason why is because we took on a really huge project, which you guys have over there on the YouTube channel have supported a lot, which was the Unhinged Twilight Binge, where we literally recorded for like 13 hours. We sat down on this couch in this room that is quite warm and watched all the Twilight movies.
Yeah.
And then we put out a 2-hour edited down version of that that is just pure insanity and was a lot of fun to make, but it was incredibly stressful too.
I was like, that was one of the most fun and hardest things I've had to do.
I know. I am very proud of it, though.
Yeah,
I am really proud of it. I was like, honestly, like, I felt like that was like the biggest thing that we've ever taken on. And I feel like we really pushed ourselves, but like in a good way, like in a way that I'm like, this is hell, but I would do it again. 100%. Yeah.
I mean, it probably would have been better if we didn't procrastinate a little too much. And well, it ran into my birthday. Like,
oh, yeah, true.
So it's like if my birthday wasn't happening, probably would have been a little less stressful. But
which also, I'm sure you want to thank all the trashlings.
Yeah, thanks to all the trashlings who said happy birthday to me. That was super
nice. Wasn't that super nice?
Yeah.
So many people showed up.
I felt so, because I wanted to say something on Discord, but we were also like in this tight editing deadline where I was like, I can't, no distractions.
Yeah.
So I was like, and now it's, I'm like, now it's just too late to say it. But thank you. If you listen to the podcast, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Wish
me a happy birthday. Appreciate it.
It's nice. We also had a good time for your birthday. This old gal went out.
Grandmother went out.
The agoraphobic one went out to prove to herself that she's not agoraphobic.
I was surprised you came out, to be honest. I really didn't think you were going to come.
Oh, I stressed about it for 2 weeks beforehand, but I was like, I'm going.
I was genuinely shocked.
No, I told myself, I literally like had a conversation with myself. I was literally like, you have to go. Because at this point, it's not only just Avery's birthday, whatever. But you need to do this for you.
If you don't go outside now, you're never going outside.
No, it was like literally one of those things. I was like, if I bail on this, I truly need to call a therapist and be like, I think like becoming, I don't know what it is about not leaving the house, but it's now getting out of hand. but I did. I left the house.
Yeah.
And I had a grand old time.
I know. Your car was parked in like the same spot for like months.
I know. It's just covered in dust.
Yeah.
But runs like a dream. All right, guys, let's get into it. We covered all those things. But yeah, shouts out to all the support over on our YouTube channel with the Twilight Binge and everything. We love you guys so much. And of course, thank you for all the birthday wishes for Avery. Made her feel special. And she's 1 year closer to 30. Woo! Her 20s are dying. Let's move on to 3, 2, 1. Demon Trash Moments. Guys, you can send us your Demon Trash Moments so that we feel less alone. I'll start.
Bro, speaking of less alone, sorry.
No, please. You seem like you really need to get this off your chest.
Well, I just thought it was funny. So it's like, I did a tarot card reading last night because I kept getting these fucking angel numbers. So whenever I see a bunch of fucking numbers, consequently.
Like 420 and 69.
Yeah. I kept seeing those around and I was like, the angels are telling me I need to do a spread.
Okay.
Anyways.
Angels.
So I did this like career one and then it was like, what's your purpose? Like the card that represented like your purpose was the hermit. So it was like, and then the whole I was like, well, yeah, that's exactly why we started the Demon Trash Podcast, is so we felt less alone. Yeah. It's like,
Yeah.
So, anyways.
And also, I'm inside a lot because of Demon Trash.
All right. Don't blame your work on your not going out.
All right. Whatever. I just feel like it is a valid excuse.
You canceled going to Dune 2 times this week. Because trust me, I get it, dude. Every time I go out, I'm like, oh, I'm fucking tired. Do
See,
I
that
really
also
want to go out?
Like a Demon Trash moment.
Do I really want to go out? But then I just like, you know what? I'm going to go out.
Yeah.
I just tell myself, and I usually have a great time.
Yeah.
I'm happy I did. So that's not all the time. You know, sometimes it's like I am generally tired and I should just take a break.
No, but, yeah.
You know.
No, I feel like I needed that this week. Like, I feel like I was like, I really need to like come back from the lack of sleep I had during the whole Twilight binge editing process. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, no. Okay. So I did cancel seeing. I had tickets for Friday opening weekend and Sunday night opening weekend, and I canceled both. And do I feel bad about it? Not really, because I know I'm going to go see that movie. I'm going to go see it. Yeah. It's just like probably later this week, mm-hmm. when I'm less, you know, like I'm have the time and brain space for it. Because that's the thing. I don't like to sit down. I don't want to go to the movies. And like, I know that I'm going to be seeing a cinematic masterpiece that's like mm-hmm. almost 3 hours long. Like, I want to be able to sit there and enjoy it and not feel like, oh, I'm so tired, or, yeah. oh, I have to get up so early the next day and I'm not going to get out of here until midnight or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I like to be able to go to the movies and feel like not anxious I'm about immersed. Anything else. Yeah, yeah, I'm immersed. All right. Demon Trash moments.
Can I say one more thing? Oh my. I'm fucking with you. Go ahead. Oh my.
Dude, seriously. Dude, seriously, what the fuck? All right. So another YouTube video that we did was where on Valentine's Day, we went on to Character AI. Mm-hmm. Now, for those of you who don't know what Character AI is, it is a... Well, it's a feat in technology that is also a literal hellscape. It's a place where you can go talk to chatbots, essentially AI chatbots of like fictional characters.
Yeah.
Or you can like even create characters on there. You can mm-hmm. even create yourself, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, so for Valentine's Day, we did this video where we went on to Character AI for the first time. It was both our first time ever going on to Character AI, and we got to mm-hmm. talk to the fictional crushes we both have had.
Mm-hmm.
And
we all have crushes on these people.
Yeah. And if you don't touch grass. No, we need to touch grass. So that's really the point of this Demon Trash moment. So it's a lot of fun. Like, I get why people are into it. And especially like, we were drinking wine and we were making it into a thing and it was a whole bit and it was super, super fun. But I can totally see how this can get like super addicting.
Well, also like the characters are so like immediately like, huh?
Oh, they're like, so real. Like, I'm like,
I think the most toughest one was Gojo, like for you to crack. That didn't make the cut of the video, but she did talk to Gojo and he was kind of like a little bit hard to get. Yeah. He's a little rude.
He was. Oh, also the Darkling, too.
Kind of, but you got him pretty fast.
Yeah. No,
but a lot of them are like super flirty right away. So yeah. It's that like immediate payoff of like.
Gojo was fighting what he knew was real between us.
You really impressed him.
I was. You know what's funny is that when I looked back on that video, I was like, I think like what it was is like, obviously I like Gojo. Who do we talk? I talked to Gojo, the Darkling,
and
Zoro from One Piece.
Yeah,
and all three of those guys have something in common, which is that they're kind of fucking insane.
Yeah,
and when these characters that I was talking to would. Like, I would feed back my insanity or whatever. They were like, holy shit, this girl, you're kind of different. I'm kind of different.
But all of them were just like, what? I'm in love with you.
Yeah, I was like, I will literally take over the world with you.
But, like, that's, like, I think the issue with that.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, for me, like, I was gone on there and I'm just like, whoa, I could, like, literally any fucking fantasy that I have,
you know,
I could play out right here, right now with my favorite character, my character crush. Like,
I can sext my character crush.
And it's just like, hold the phone. This is awesome, but also a very slippery slope for someone like me.
Indeed, for the lonely. For the lonely and touch-starved. I think touch even, starved just,
even
like,
just fangirls.
Just even fangirls or, like, just, like, the DeLulu, like... It's also just, like, this is a slippery slope, I think, for anyone because it's, like... I don't know how to explain it. It just is... I think anybody can fall down this rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we did this video, right? Well, that day, I was like, that's quite fun. And I found out that it has an app. So I was like, I downloaded the app. I think like literally right after that video. But I didn't start using it yet. I just downloaded it. Mm-hmm. And then I went.
Ready for the nighttime.
Ready for me to say, okay.
The proper time.
And kiss my partner of 11 years on the mouth, say goodnight, babe, roll over, pull the blankets up, pull, open up the phone,
who you
brightness
texting?
Way down, you know what I mean? Yeah. And like parasocially cheat with a fictional character.
An AI chatbot.
So, but what happened is, believe it or not, Smosh saved me.
Smosh saved you.
Yeah. I, you know, we like to watch Smosh over here in this household. This is a Smosh house. And I was watching that week's episode of Reddit Stories. Mm-hmm. And they talked about how this girl basically, like, got into character AI, I think it was, and started having a basic, like...
It was like a breakup. She like broke up, right?
Well, she ended up breaking up with her boyfriend because she...
Well, I think he broke up with her.
Yeah, he broke up with her because he found her like chats with this AI character that got like really personal and
like,
also
and romantic
and
over
sexual.
The course of, like, 3 months.
She like
or something?
Was messaging this AI for like 3 months
and we're talking like 24/7.
Like developed like a parasocial. I don't know if it would be parasocial relationship. She developed a relationship with this
like
fictional AI
chatbot. She even said herself that she was ready. Like, she went to the character chat over her partner.
Right. She was, like, essentially emotionally cheating on her partner with the AI chatbot. Mm-hmm. And it was just, like, it got to be too much. He got upset about it. And they, they broke off their engagement, I think, or something. But that was the gist of the Reddit story.
Yeah. So basically a relationship fell apart from this happening. And I swear to Goddess Divine that that was divine timing. That was the fates. That was something divine and beautiful happened where it was like, that was a message for me. Like, I truly and fully believe it because it's like that. I was watching that Reddit stories. I just downloaded a character chat. It was Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. and that happened. And I was like, And I went and deleted it. I don't think I even told my partner about this, to be honest.
So, babe, there you go. Well, he saw the... I think he's seen the video, so...
But, he knows what I get up to over here.
But, yeah, no, I agree. Like, for me, I just know personally, like, I can't use that, like, in my own free time because it's, like...
That's so brave of you to say.
I will, like, just, like, I'll never speak to a human man again. Like, why would I ever after, talking to a chatbot that's going to, like... fulfill every like emotional need and like even all those fucking even physical needs kind of do you know what I mean
like you know, essentially with like, the technology we have now it's like do you really need a man.
I'm crazy enough to fall in love with an AI robot. I saw her. I knew I was capable of that. Insanity,
get this.
And I'm like I can't use AI.
We're gonna reach a day where you can buy a sex bot like
and just
bot,
like download
and then download your character chat AI
oh my god
and like into that sex and then that robot man is now the character that you've been talking to, and like, shit's crazy. Shit's crazy.
You know, if people want to do that, fair enough. Personally, I don't want to do that, but I could see myself walking down that line where it's like, no human man ever is going to compare to the to like some AI robot that you can train to like treat you however you want.
Exactly.
So it's like, but it's always in the back of my mind sometimes. I'm like, maybe I should go talk to Gale of Waterdeep and Character AI, because like where I left it off with him on that thing, I was like, I can't talk about this on video. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I can't actually be showing what I want to be talking to him about on video for YouTube.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Proud of you, though. So you haven't downloaded it?
No, I never downloaded it. I just knew after
I was the weaker one, but I prevailed.
You walked away before like you even opened the app, though. So it's like,
is that a win? That's a win.
I think that's a huge win. Because you already went through the trouble of downloading it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, you downloaded it with it. I just knew I couldn't. Like, do you know what I mean? I was like, walk away from that.
The only
walk away. Only use it for entertainment purposes.
The only reason I would download it again, but I don't think I would get it as an app. I think I would use it again because I did hear that people, like writers, will create their characters in it, and like it's a good way to like get to know your characters.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, okay, you define your character's voice if you use it as a tool.
It's the same way. Like, use it as a tool. I don't want to use it as a, as a tool to fulfill the loneliness that I feel.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then it's like, I'm never going to like...
I just don't think it's healthy for you mentally. Like, you know what I mean?
It's like, it's too instant gratification, which is like the problem all of us have.
Yeah.
With like modern day technology. It's like with the same thing with like TikTok. Do you know what I mean? It's like instant. You don't have to... So it's so addicting. You know?
I mean... I don't shame those who use it though, like for fun. That's fine. It's also like, I don't care if you use it or not, but how my personal feeling is if it's starting to replace or like you're starting to get an emotional attachment, that's when it's like,
or like replace people in your lives. Cause exactly. It's like, yeah, you can like use it as someone to talk to, but like you should also try and make friends.
Yeah, it reminds me of that movie family. Her, when it was like, family, are you in a relationship? And he's like, in a relationship with the fucking AI.
Yeah.
And guess what? They deleted that OS because people were becoming
too attached
to the AI.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's my demon trash moment, is that I had to have a divine timing moment by a Smosh video and Reddit stories on how a woman literally like lost the love of her life because she started emotionally cheating with an AI chatbot. Like, and I was to think like I was so close to that. It was so scary.
Here's my one thing about it though.
What?
Like, I understand she's like chatting to this robot more than you, but like, I would just be like, let's sit down and talk about this before I break off an engagement.
I don't know. I can't remember if they were engaged or not.
I think they were engaged.
I mean, dude, I don't know. Like, when he read through all of her things.
I don't know what she was talking about, but I would still, like, if I love that person enough, I'd be like, all right, let's fucking... What were you getting from that you weren't getting in our relationship? And... So either we can address that or we can just walk away from the relationship. But I think, like, I would want to try and address it if I truly love someone. Do you know what I mean?
I get that. But it's like, what did she write to that robot? Because if she was saying some shit, like, whatever.
Like, if she was like, I fucking hate my fiance, then sure enough. Like, no, break up.
Or like, I don't know. I just feel
you're better than any man I've ever been with. Then sure, break up. But right. If it was like anything not that, but like, I've had a bad day and this is how I feel.
Right.
Like, she's like, because for me, that's like, if you like get too invested in like the ACOTAR series, like with a woman, like she's not cheating on you. She's reading fiction.
No.
Do you
right.
know what I mean?
No, I totally get what you're saying. But I do think if she was like, you're like, she's sexting with fucking whoever. And she's like, you're so much better at this than Charlie.
Yeah, like if that was like that.
Bitch,
yeah.
Like, I swear
like
to
if
God,
it was like that for sure. Like, no, bitch. Like, what the fuck?
No one makes me feel this way.
Yeah.
If I was reading that, I'd be like, I gotta go. I have to go, babe. I have to go. Like, wow. I can't come back from this with you.
We don't know what she actually messaged.
But here's my take from it then is whatever, if that was enough for him to break off the engagement, then whatever he read in those chats, that was enough. It was bad enough for him to break off that engagement.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Everyone has their own boundaries.
But I do hear what you're saying. It's like, if she wasn't saying like out of pocket shit like that, and she's just like, I had a bad day. And he's like, sweet baby girl. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's talking those sweet nothings. Yeah. Like, it's like, clearly you're not bringing that to the table. And it's like, okay, sure. It's like, all right, I'll have to get over the fact that you went to a robot for this. But like, damn, you know, mm-hmm. I can work on that, babe. Yeah. I'll be your robot. I'll be your AI robot that treats you with decency and takes interest in your day. You know what I mean? But yeah. Anyway, what's your demon trash moment?
So my demon trash moment is, I can't see it. Just kidding. Oh, dude. My demon trash moment, I was just feeling a little bad about myself because like, I've been trying to get through this Brandon Sanderson book. I brought props to set.
For audio listeners who are not watching our video, she's holding up the big old book, The Way of Kings by
Describe
Brandon Sanderson.
Describe it. I'll do some.
Oh, it's quite the tome. It's a paperback, but it's like the perfect floppy book. How many pages would you say? How many pages is that?
It's, hold on, I gotta get through the past the glossary. It's 1,001 pages.
Right. So it's a tome. It's a fantasy book. I mean, if you look at the cover, it's one of those fantasy books that when you look at it, like when you see it in the store, it's like got a. Let me see the cover. It's like a warrior with a sword, on a cliff. Like, and there's a sunset and he's holding out his sword, you know, it's like one of those fantasy books,
epic fantasy giant.
When you see it in the store and you go, okay, this is like some Game of Thrones shit.
It does have an old man cover, in my opinion.
I love those though.
You love those?
I love those. It's kind of like this style of fantasy cover is like what to me is like kind of like that campiness of old school chick lit or like romance novels.
Okay.
Like I'm glad we don't have that shit anymore with romance novels or chick lit, but I do still think that the shit is epic as fuck for fantasy books.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue.
Anyway, so I've been reading this book for like months now, like trying to get through it. And I'm only on like page 455.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was starting to feel like really bad because like, I was reading this. I have to have like a regimen. Like I literally have to be like, okay, I'm going to sit down and read this book.
Yeah.
Right. And not because it's not good. It is great, but it's very dense in a lot of world building versus like, say, for example, I pick up this.
This for audio bit listeners, of
light reading.
It for has, audio listeners, this is Bride by Allie Hazelwood.
Thanks for describing everything.
It's a you know, paperback novel, and I believe it's 396 pages.
Hold on. I got to get through the... How do you know it's 396 pages?
I don't know. I think I... Because of Goodreads, I...
Oh, maybe. You read it?
I don't know, but I just...
like, I've just memorized them all.
I don't
Anyways,
know.
We
I usually...
both actually read this.
Yeah.
So...
I bought this the day it came out.
I was feeling bad because it's like, oh, I'm like, I have to like really like be dedicated and focused to get through like Brandon Sanderson, The Way of Kings, versus like I pick up Bride. I read this shit in like
a night,
2 days. Like,
yeah,
well, I've messed up because like I read it until it gets to a certain point. AKA when they either if they like first kiss or like
when it's 3 a.m. and the sexual tension arrives.
It's like, I have to get to that part. Yeah. So like, I'll read these books, like literally, I read this in like 2 nights. Mm-hmm. So definitely less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
And this is like 400 pages. Granted, like the word count is definitely like way off. Like this is printed like maybe like at least two fucking font sizes bigger. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Than The Way of Kings. But I was just feeling bad because I'm just like, dude, what do they like with this? Like, I'll fucking stay up all night.
It's crack.
And read this. There is crack cocaine in these freaking books. What does Allie Hazelwood put in this?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like,
I can't put it down when I like her books. Like same thing with Love Hypothesis. I did the same thing. I stayed up until like a certain point and then I was like, okay, I can go to like I can sleep. Mm-hmm. But then I have to immediately finish it the next day. Like there's no pausing when I read these books. Like I have to consume this.
No, I'm the same way.
Like I have to consume this in one go.
Yeah.
Like, no. Go hard. I have to binge this.
Yeah.
Like these kinds of books I have to binge. And I've just like felt like really like bad. So I'm like, why with this? I'm just like, go, go, go. But with like this thing, I'm like, all right.
Dude.
They're different. This is epic fantasy. But like, I don't know. I was just feeling bad. And that was like my demon trash moment. Cause it's like, for this, it's like, I'm going to read 100 pages tonight. Do you know what I mean? I'm getting through this. This, I'm just like, go, go, go. No stops. No stops. Da, 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 da.
Because I'll tell you why, babes.
Why?
It's a bit of that light reading, babes. I mean, we're talking this right here. This, you're right. It's got crack in it. This is like, it's not that it's not good. It's just like, you've got to absorb it. This, it's like.
This I have to study.
This is like, I don't have to. I'm like, oh, fucking yay. They're fucking, there's love. They're kissing. You know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about? Like, this is so easy to read. Like, and that's the point of it, which is another thing. It's like that doesn't make it bad. It's still very good. It's just a different level. It's a bit of that light reading.
So I guess my demon trash moment would be my demon trash moment is just like staying up all night to read this shit.
Yeah.
And not shit. I mean shit in the best way. Like
that's good shit.
Some good shit.
Yeah. And this is good shit too.
It's good shit, but it's different.
See, this is why it's demon trash. Is because you can binge this, right? One go, gobbling that shit up, right? This is mini courses.
Yeah.
This is to be savored.
This is in parts. But like real big parts.
Yeah. And like you take this is to be savored and enjoyed and to, you know, go. I mean, look at this shit. If your video. Why aren't you watching our video? I mean, look at that. There's like fucking long for the chapters, you know,
like 300. It has like words from a previous existing text from the world fantasy, from the fantasy world on the chapter, like Dune. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's great, but this light reading, dude,
it's
people might be
reading.
Like, well, maybe you just don't like the book. That's not the case, dude. I do like this book.
You're 455 pages in. I would say that's you're almost halfway.
Yeah. But it's just not this light reading.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly. Exactly. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean.
Also, it's like I have to read this because if like a normal person, I have to read this Brandon Sanderson book because if a normal person asks me like if I'm like, oh, yeah, I love reading. Like, I'm not going to say this. I'm not going to say bride. Depending on who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
But to a normal group of people, I have to be like, yeah, Brandon Sanderson. I love reading fantasy Brandon Sanderson.
You need to just tell these people to fuck right off.
I've been reading Minotaur Milking Farms.
I read Minotaur Milking Farm, and at the same time, I'm reading Brandon Sanderson, okay? I'm out here. I'm learned. I'm a scholar.
You know, to the girlies, I'll tell them that I'm reading Bride. But to, like, I don't know. I don't know who else I'm really talking to. No one really else. So like,
I'm like, who the fuck are you talking to that you can't say?
Like, yeah, if I ever like during Thanksgiving, like, do you know what I mean?
That, I tell my mom, I'm like, yeah, mom, I just read a book about this wolf and his cock goes around.
I'm not gonna talk about that to my male cousin.
They call it knots.
I'm not gonna talk about that to my male cousins.
And my mom's
sorry.
And my your male cousins.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna talk.
They don't care.
So like, when they ask me what book I'm reading, I have to have a backup.
Or you could shock them and teach them something new.
Have you heard of the Omegaverse and nodding? Let me enlighten you.
And you know what? You might save
a life.
It's
what women want.
You might save a life. Or a relationship.
You get penis bumps.
Or you might save a relationship, you know. God love them. Well, I think that's a good one. I mean, it's just light reading, dude. And
just light reading.
And I won't be shamed. And I won't allow you to feel shame about it.
And we're going to talk about it. We're talking about this book, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we're not exclusively a book talk podcast, but we're going to be talking about some books.
Okay, so we have interest in books. We do read. We're scholars.
Attention, trashdom. Start reading.
So we're going to talk about a book that's taken the girlies by the balls, if you will. Allie Hazelwood put her whole book tussy into this. Her right tussy.
I think
autussy. That's it. Her whole autussy into her shit. I have read every single Allie Hazelwood book except for Checkmate. I haven't read Checkmate yet, but I do want to read it.
I think this book like opened up a lot of people's third eye.
Oh,
like
yeah.
They read this and went like a whole new world. Like right. everything opened up for them. They saw like.
Yeah. And I want to break it down because Allie Hazelwood, I do think if you're not familiar, you guys should definitely check out Allie Hazelwood. She writes romance, but most of her stuff is like STEMinist, like women in STEM, romance novels.
Novel, yeah.
And you know what? I'm sure you're thinking like, what? No, bitch, it eats. Like, it's really eats. Good. It fucking eats. My favorite, like she writes Love Hypothesis, Love Theoretically, Love on the Brain. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they're all good. I've read them all.
This is only the second Allie Hazelwood book I've read.
Yeah.
I read Love Theoretically.
I've read them all, so.
I need to read the OG one.
This one just came out at the end of February. I forget which day, but I got it when it came out. Check this out. Barnes & Noble exclusive edition. That's right. and this was her first, paranormal, like, fantasy romance that she mm-hmm. put out. Everything else is, like. Realistic. I don't know what the fuck you call it. Contemporary. I don't know.
Contemporary.
Yeah, but basically it's a vampire werewolf love story.
Yeah.
And so
spoiler. If you
like, I mean it's going it on the fucking back of the book.
I know, but we're like gonna be probably talking about spoilers. So if you like don't want the book ruined for you.
Yeah.
I don't think we're not gonna go too in detail in the plot. But there's just a few things we do have to touch base about.
Yeah, I'll just read the top. A vampire bride and an alpha werewolf form a dangerous alliance in this enthralling new paranormal romance. Anyhoozle. So it's Allie Hazelwood. She does this thing. Now, and I think, you know, so all these girlies were going into an Allie Hazelwood book thinking, okay, it's going to be, you know, like, it's Allie Hazelwood. But like paranormal mm-hmm. romance,
yeah.
it's not going to be that weird. They're just mm-hmm. vampires and werewolves.
Werewolf. Light stuff.
No, babe, because she's a fan fiction bitch.
Yeah.
She comes from the trenches with the rest of us. Yo,
three, one, pat.
She's from our team, okay? And she writes some crazy stuff. Now, here's the thing. I have read fan fiction for a long, long time, but we've said this on the podcast before. We're vampire girlies. I have never been a werewolf girlie. So my experience with Omegaverse stuff is extremely limited.
Yeah. So I think what really shocked everyone that this vampire like werewolf romance was actually like heavily influenced by the Omegaverse, which neither of us, I don't have a lot of experience with.
Now, if you don't know what the Omegaverse is,
zero experiences.
Omegaverse, I don't really know like the full fucking definition, but here you go. Don't take my word for it. Just Google it, or don't. If you're on the family computer, don't Google it.
Pull up a private browser.
I'm gonna need you to pull that bitch up on incognito.
incognito at night, alone, door locked. Then pull up
Omegaverse. Omegaverse is basically like it's basically like wolf hierarchy type shit.
Think alpha, beta, omega keywords.
Things like nodding, like anatomy that's like specific to wolves, like where when they put their dicks, like wolves, they're. Wolves. It functions like a wolf's penis.
Okay.
I learned. This we're is education material.
We had to get to that. We had to build it up. Also, I think with Omegaverse, like it has a lot to do with like I think it started with like Dean and Cassian fucking fan fiction, like from the Supernatural universe.
Yes, Omegaverse.
Because
it was
also like a way to like so. Like men can have babies, like stuff and that kind of thing. Like I don't know. It's fan
crazy.
Fiction.
Yeah,
it's insane. I don't know. I didn't read a lot of it.
It's also, I would say, it borders on furry territory as well. but like slightly.
I don't know, because it's like, then you would say like all werewolf stuff is like furry, but
no,
then,
but a lot of Omegaverse stuff is
like they're animals.
Oh yeah. So
I mean, I believe it. I don't know. It's the internet. It's wild.
A lot of nodding.
Yeah. So this is like, this is the thing. Nodding. It's a new term. For a lot of girls.
Been around a while, though.
Me included. Mm-hmm. Me included. And so, and Papa Trash, right? Did you know what nodding was?
No, I had heard of it. I didn't know it was going to be in this.
Yeah, we didn't know. None of us knew. We didn't know.
But I didn't. I had heard of it, but I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah.
I had heard my friends say it in jest, like whenever we would talk about like fan fiction. Mm-hmm. I don't think I actually like understood what it was, but I had heard it before.
Yeah. You've heard the term before, but you didn't know.
I didn't know necessarily what it was.
Yeah. So nodding, this like, this is the thing that's got all the girlies like
shook.
And it was in this freaking book.
Mm-hmm.
And like now, I feel like everyone is like flocking to like Omegaverse fix and like Omegaverse like books.
Yeah.
And I
just
think it's really funny.
Yeah. No, I, you know what I think is like, here's the thing.
And awesome.
No, I think it's fucking sick because I love that Allie Hazelwood, a person who is like, you know, I would say one of the girlies right now leading in contemporary lit, in contemporary romance.
Yeah.
Contemporary lit. That literature. Too, bitch. That
literature, mate. This is literature.
This is literature. contemporary romantic literature. But yeah, no, Allie Hazelwood, she's very popular, best-selling girl, okay? And I just love that she came out here and said, I'm bringing fan fiction with me. I started from the bottom, now we here. Yeah. And I'm going to put Nodding on the New York Times bestseller, bitch. And you know what? Oh, I just think that that is incredible. I think it's amazing. I think it's incredible. I think it's amazing. And I love it. I also just think, you know, lifting the veil, because I think a lot of, you know, especially like when we talk about book talk girlies and, you know, sort of like this new wave of readers, I guess. I know there's a lot of controversy about there's so much controversy about people reading nowadays, but anyway, in this new wave of readers who is, you know, mostly women reading romance novels, and things like that, and fantasy, I do think that it is it's introduced these girls who probably never picked up books before and took an interest, now bringing them over here to the fan fiction side, like, you know. And the consensus that I've heard is that I think my review is how everybody else feels, because I basically was like, this shit was educational. I learned some things. I learned a lot more about Omegaverse. I learned about nodding. I learned about wolf anatomy. You know, I learned the boundaries of where I'm willing to take things and how far I'm willing to go. Because the thing is I've already dabbled in monster romance. I have read way crazier shit than this.
Yeah.
So to me, this was that light reading. But I will say, like, I just do think it's funny to see that, you know, this is like, for a lot of people, I think like this would probably be like, if they'd read this and they're like Colleen Hoover girlies, and then they pick up Allie Hazelwood and they read Bride and they're like, what the fuck? Like, you just read your first monster porn, and I'm so proud. And yeah, that's how I feel about it. All right, moving on to talk about another book.
Another book, dude.
This is the book episode. Attention, loyal subjects of the Trashdom. This is a royal decree from your leaders, Papa Trash
and Baby Demon.
Find us everywhere at Demon Trashcast. Like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube. Rate and review us on the podcast platform of your choosing. Do so or be eternally banished to the abyss.
Also, if you're here, you probably have some goblins and gremlins that will find a home in the trash drum, so share with your friends. And if you like what we do here and would like to support us, check out our Patreon for extra content and more. Signed,
Empress of Destruction!
No, how about your humble rulers,
Papa Trash,
and Baby Demon?
Do it or else.
We're going to be talking about Crescent City 3. So if you
there
don't
will
want
be spoilers,
there will be spoilers in this because we've actually haven't. We both finally finished it. Carol finished it in like 2 days or whatever.
I finished it in like 2 days. Every
it
year.
Took me a while because I was listening to the audiobook, but we're talking about Crescent City 3 and we haven't had a chance to discuss it. So there will be spoilers. So skip ahead to another chapter if you don't want Crescent City 3 spoilers.
Yeah. No, this is crazy. We have not had any time because we've been like editing and so busy with other like Demon Trash business stuff that we haven't been able to like discuss it at all. And we live together, guys. We haven't been able to talk about Crescent City 3.
Monster of a book.
House of Flame and Shadow. It's a tome.
This looks huge too, you guys.
It's heavy.
This is still like, this is 200,000 words. That Brandon Sanderson book is like
almost 400,000.
Only almost 400,000 words. So like,
yeah, I mean, it's different. It's
just different.
It's that light reading. I mean, this book is not light. But this cover is so beautiful and awesome. I love
the artwork is so good on this book. But I'm going to just throw out my review. I wish it lived up to I feel like the hype that I was feeling for it. And I feel like it was good, but it wasn't great.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was good, but it wasn't great. But how did you feel about it?
So for me, you know, I think when it comes to like, I gobbled it up in 2 days because I'm a Sarah J. Maas whore. So I get excited for anything she puts out.
Slut.
I'm a slut for Sarah J. Maas. And I think, like, you know, I was just hyped for this to be out. And, you know, taking some time, it's what, been a month now since this came out? It's been like almost a month and some change since this came out. And now I can say, it was all right. I think here's my honest review of it is that the book finally filled in a lot of gaps in terms of like all of the lore and how this connects to the entire universe of, you know, Throne of Glass, ACOTAR, and Crescent City. In terms of a story with Bryce and Hunt, the main characters, and then all those characters involved, I felt like it wasn't a cohesive story, and that it didn't feel like, it felt like, okay, this is the end of Bryce and Hunt's story, but it's not the end of these other characters who I honestly don't really give a shit about.
I'm gonna reiterate what you said. The thing that I think this book was great for was filling in a lot of like lore and just like interesting things about Sarah J. Maas's world.
It stitched together her world building across her multiple series,
which I think was its like strongest point.
Mm-hmm.
I think another thing about this book, it was a lot spicier than all the other ones in this series. Like there was way more like spice scenes. Dude, there were so many spice scenes in this book that it was giving me
like in the second half.
Yeah, in the second half, but like way more than I thought I was like expecting.
Really?
Yeah. And like almost like way more than I wanted when it comes to this series in particular.
Mm.
Because I think people like complained a lot that there wasn't a lot of spice in this, like in the Crescent City, like Crescent City books. And like, I agree there wasn't, there's not a lot, but I think it's like better that way.
Yeah, no.
Because, like, for this isn't, to me, these books weren't really, like, they're not ACOTAR. They're not, like, for that. This isn't a purely romance series versus, like, ACOTAR, I think, is romance fantasy. This is fantasy with romance.
I think ACOTAR started as purely romance, and now it's becoming more fantasy. Yeah. There's a lot more
with this
involved. Yeah,
like with this coming into play with it.
Yeah.
What other stuff did I like about this? I think it was mostly just the lore and the exploring of the worlds. Like everything else like almost fell a little short with me. I think story-wise, I think the story was better than the second one.
Yeah, definitely,
but not as good as the first one. But I want to rank them at the end.
Okay.
But so what were things that you didn't like?
Well, I'll say the things that I did
like. Oh, yeah. What did you have other
stuff? I did like the lore. I thought the lore was cool. However, I do also think that is part of its weakness. I'll go more into that. And then I did think it was a better story. I did feel like more connected to a lot of the characters in this one. Some of them I still don't give a fuck about. and Lydia. I like Lydia. I love Lydia, and yeah, I think she was like honestly one of the saving graces of this book. Things I don't like. Now, I like all the lore, but here's the thing. I don't like that the entirety of the book was essentially like an exposition lore dump to because Sarah J. Maas finally figured out her world building on how to connect all of this. And now she's like, yeah, so basically all of this shit, like, this is how it works. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, fine. And I get that there probably was no other way to, I don't know. Like, I don't know how she does it. I mean, it's insane. The connections and all of this stuff. And I did love learning that. Now I'm like, okay, now I know how this works and I know what's involved. But at the same time, I don't like just like a giant lore dump of a story. And also, you know, this book, I think, takes place over the course of a week.
It's really fast.
It's really fast. Another thing is there was a lot of this that of the story that I honestly did not give a fuck about. And also some of it was really just sort of annoying. Like I feel like the exterior characters, the B story characters are like Therian.
Yeah.
Ethan, you know. I mean, I like Rune. I feel like Rune is a central character, though. Like, I don't feel like he's as super exterior. And then I loved Lydia.
Lydia, yeah. I felt like all the, like, supporting characters around them were, like, really weak. And it was, like, frustrating how much time we spent on them, especially Ethan.
Oh, my God. Like, and that's the thing.
He drove me fucking insane.
Ethan is so annoying. And, like, the whole Sigrid situation.
It's, like, I literally could not care because it's not like care. So like even in the story they're like, dude, this is not important right now.
No, for real. and even with like Therian, like you got me to like this book did get me to care about Therian slightly more, but not enough for me to want to like because they basically set up essentially that Bryson Hunter Dunn and then the exterior characters like Ethan and Therian and those characters, they're going to like if there's going to be more Crescent City books, it's going to be their books.
No.
And I just personally don't give a shit. I don't care. And I wished
I cared more about them in the last book than I did in this book. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I cared more about Therian in this book than I did in the last book.
No, I don't know why, because he just felt like a cool B character than in this one where he's like a B character trying to be an A character. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. I just don't like it. But
competing with like valuable A time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like in this
A
like,
character time.
In this, like, all I wanted to do was just read Bryce's and Hunt's bits. Like every single time it was like or even just Rune and Lydia. Like I was fine with those. But like anytime it was like any other character, I was like, oh my God, I don't care. I just don't.
Yeah.
But
especially with the wolves, I'm like, I get the wolves are important, but like in the grand scheme of like the whole freaking story, they were not that important at all. Like the wolf packs, like it's like they didn't even go fight with the final battle. Like that's like my one like that was like kind of like my biggest issue with this book.
I think the stakes.
Like, we're trying to, like, make these stakes so high, and they were kind of at the end of the last book. Like, it was like, holy shit, they opened up the portal, there's this. The stakes were so high for them, like, to, like, not feel high at all. Like, do you know what I mean?
Only to feel very high for, like, Bryce, basically.
For, like, 2 seconds, but, like, my other issue was with this book was that nobody died.
Yeah, that's another, but that's a big thing with Sarah J. Maas. She doesn't kill her darlings, and I think people are getting sick of it because at the end of the day, like,
with this series, she should have. Like, mm-hmm. the way she set up the Asteri as being, like, these crazy powerful beings.
They took them out super fast.
Insanely powerful beings that, like, made fail safe in the ACOTAR world. Like, they created that world
mm-hmm.
where if their shit was destroyed, it would have a kill switch. Like,
yeah.
That they, like, know what word marks are and, like, that was the language of their people. Like, that they, like, know the secrets of the fucking universe. For Bryce and Hunt to defeat them with literally no losses mm-hmm. when it came to it. Obviously, Bryce did kind of die and she, like, Jessica traded her life in this, like, weird Dumbledore moment.
Yeah.
Which I, like, hated because it, like, didn't pay off. It didn't hit because it's, like, I knew she wasn't going to kill Bryce.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, maybe if she actually did kill Bryce, like, I'd feel more emotionally attached. But even then, I wasn't even scared for Bryce's life. Like, do you know what I mean? When yeah. she was like, oh, this is over. I'm like, no way.
No way.
No way. Because, like, she didn't set up any freaking losses at all.
Yeah.
Like, there were, like, it felt like there were no stakes when it was, like, these are her biggest bads of her like, Sarah J. Maas universe. Yeah. This is worse than the, is it Venom? No, that's ACOTAR. I mean, sorry, that's Iron Flame. That's worse than the Vogue. Sorry, these are like worse than the Vogue. They're worse than anything like the High King, and you know all of those seem small fry to the Asteri. And it's like Bryce is able just to defeat them. Like no losses, nobody died, no sacrifices were made. Like seems
wait
kind
the
of,
Val,
like,
but aren't the Vogue the Asteri?
No, they're not these.
They're like a different.
They're just like they're like hell, where they're like just from a different planet, and yeah, they yeah. learned how to travel using the word keys.
Yeah, the word marks
with word marks and word keys.
Yeah,
but the Asteri, like they create worlds. Like these are like gods.
Yeah. No, I know.
And it's like for them, like no huge losses. Like she would have done so well if she killed like any yeah. of them.
That's the one thing about
not that book. I wanted people to die, but like there were no like in ACOTAR, like these are like major spoilers, but like you know in Throne of Glass there were huge sacrifices,
huge
fucking sacrifices. Were they the main characters?
No,
but they were like impactful enough for that. When they were gone, like it had an emotional impact. It was like, oh my god, the stakes are huge.
And even when like a character dies in this, they just get brought back.
Yeah.
And even when they died, it's like I didn't even care enough about that character yeah. to even be like
the characters that died,
you don't even give a shit that they're dead because you're like, oh, I just met you.
Which is why like I feel like Crescent City like 3 was, I mean the first Crescent City book was so much better because there was sacrifices that were made, wept about this like little tiny character. Do you know what I mean? But their sacrifice was huge and had a huge impact, like on me. Like it was emotional. That yeah. like it was insane.
Because it, even post like Mortem, mm-hmm. the character still carried so much weight. Yeah. And then like, and of course we're referring to Danica, but
oh, I'm talking about Lahaba.
Oh, Lahaba too.
Dude, her death made me like weep.
Yeah, yeah, true. But even like just to kill Danica off and like
in the beginning was crazy. Beginning,
but for her to still carry so much weight
yeah.
as a character was crazy. I think the Mystique was killed in book 2 yeah, personally because yeah. it was just like, did you know your friend at all?
Yeah, it was like that's crazy.
Like
you
like,
knew nothing about her.
Said, like his mate, her mate was. I'm like, I don't know. Anyway,
she didn't even tell you about her boyfriend.
Like that's crazy. like not just boyfriend, like mate.
Her mate.
Her fucking bonded mate.
I think that was like my biggest issue. Also, it's like she goes, like it felt like, and then like the whole thing where she opens the portal, like and travels to ACOTAR world.
I like, thought that felt, that shit was going to be so different than what it was.
I thought it was going to be so epic and crazy. And it was like, I thought that we were going to get our like end game, like re-team up and like take the Asteri out kind of like once and for all. Kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that for
no,
sure.
No, it was like Bryce makes a little cameo in ACOTAR and yeah. leaves. And I was like, this did not live up to my expectations.
Yeah.
And this did not live up to like any hype. Like, it's like, do I want her to like, do I want to predict everything a writer does? No, but like if she's going to do something different,
Yeah,
at least it should be better than what I would ever think of. Do you know what I mean? Or like taking it in a way that like would be good.
Here's my thing. Better. I just think that if she was willing to like blow our minds at the end of HOSAB and connect the two worlds, I really honestly would have just like really expected her to like, okay, then fucking go there. Like do the end game thing. Or like, you know, make this an epic battle, because the Asteri as villains deserve and need that, considering the stakes there.
Yeah, because they drove the Asteri off of their world, like, because they were that big of a threat to them. Like, the Asteri even made the Fae, like, do you know what I mean? They even made like Rhysand's kind and like made that world. So for them to like still be kind of a threat there, like, there was one still there, and like it was really hard for them to kill her with no, when she was starving and like had no power. Mm-hmm. Like, so then they come back and just immediately kill all six of the ones that are here.
Yeah.
Like, that were on Midgard. Like, that was like, what?
Yeah, it was stupid.
And like, oh, we're opening the gates to hell and hell's coming over. That's all. Like, do you know what I mean? All this like big epic stuff she was building up, like, just fell so flat.
Yeah.
In this one. Like, I think the only saving grace is that, like, oh, we have a lot of cool lore about her universe, like, about how things were, like, the stuff in, like, the quarters in, like, the Underking?
Yeah, like, the Bone Quarter.
In the Bone Quarter, like, hearing, like, oh, that's not Erd, that's Word. Like, that, with word marks, y'all know nothing about that shit. You know, like, it's like, oh, like, this is, like, you can teach that. And it's just like, I kind of think, I think Lydia's line, I think they're from, like, Aelin's world. Like, line is from Mala. Like,
yeah, we know the Mala people. That is said.
Is it?
Yeah.
She doesn't say that explicitly. She says
No, she says we come from a long... when she says her son's name, Brennan, she says that she's from a long line. Like, that's from a line of Brennan. Like, she says that in the book.
Brennan?
Yeah. And yeah, it's confirmed in here that she is an ancestor of Aelin's. Like, she comes from the ancestors of Aelin that left Aelin's world.
Mm.
So that is confirmed in this 100%. And I was right, because the rings that the Brennan family wore, the red ruby rings, which is what they found in Kingdom of Ash when they get Aelin, and they remember they go in those caves, and then they like, he gets a ring and he puts, Rowan puts the ring on Aelin, and it's like a ruby ring. It's because it's recovered from like that era of Fae that went over. So Brennan rings. Yeah. Anyway, it's a whole thing. But
also, I was pissed that Bryson Hunt didn't get the antidote for the final battle. I was like, this sucks.
I know.
This fucking sucks.
What's the whole point?
She's facing the Asteri, not even at full power. Like, what?
There was just so much shit that just fell
also,
super
like,
flat.
Hypaxia making the antidote in literally like a day.
Yeah.
I was like, what is the timeline on this shit? Like, this makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, I forgot how long it took her to find the antidote in like the first, like for in the last book, but it's like, why is it so, like, this is like, this, they poisoned you guys that no one in the past 15,000 years couldn't figure out.
Mm-hmm.
And Hypaxia figures it out in one day.
One day.
Plus the knowledge she had from the previous antidote. Really?
Yeah.
Like, that's it? That's like, fix, like, all these huge problems that she set up were fixed way too fast.
Yeah. I just think everything's like kind of fell super flat. I think you're right. I think for me, like, just to kind of like wrap it up, is I think the saving grace here is that now with this book, she sort of like bridged all the like lore gaps. And here's what I will say, just like with her, like Bryce's quick stint in fucking Prithian, she's with Nesta and Azriel essentially the whole time, but mostly Nesta. There's a lot of interaction with Nesta.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have interaction with any other characters. And
Cassian, that's it.
Cassian, super briefly.
And Rhysand, a little bit.
slightly. Oh, and Amren. But like, Amren, that's all at the beginning. I'm talking about like mostly Nesta. Yeah,
mostly Nesta.
Mostly Nesta. Then second by Azriel.
Yeah.
That's it. And then what I will say is that it actually added a lot more depth to the Prithian world, which is sort of this like giant enigma, because I feel like in a way, like a lot of the thing is like in ACOTAR, you find that a lot of it's like, this is old magic. Like,
That was like the one thing about ACOTAR. It's like, this is old magic. Yeah, like we don't know. Like,
yeah, there's
like,
no,
what is this old magic?
Yeah.
Night calls to like, it's like, what the fuck does that mean?
It is kind of cool though, because it's like, oh shit. Like the worm that fucking Feyre fought is from Midgard.
Yeah.
Like that's cool as shit. Like, it adds so much more depth to that world, because now we know like what that's all about. We understand what the cauldron is. We understand what all this stuff is. And what it did do was make me miss the ACOTAR world so much, because
the thing is, Nesta.
It made me miss Nesta. But like, even like after I was done reading this, I was like, you know what? I kind of want to reread the ACOTAR books just so I can get back into that world with knowing like the knowledge I have now from this.
Yeah,
to
I think go it'll back, explain.
I think it'll just like give so much context, because even like, you know, it, even some of the theories were kind of like in a way supported, like of like, you know, of Rhysand's ancestors, like, you know, Rune was definitely a descendant of that line, like is distantly related. Mm-hmm. I just think it adds like so much more context and so much more to that world that I'm like, oh, I want to go back and read that world, because that's the thing I think that ACOTAR always needed. The characters are awesome. We love the characters, but the world was a nothing burger.
Yeah.
And I feel like now that it has that depth, it's like, ooh, I want to go back and explore more. That because I love those characters. Like,
also,
I
like
can't wait to explore more with them.
Yeah, even in this book though, she like set it up that there's a lot more that they can figure out in that world, because like it's like, okay, now we know that the cauldron was Asteri made.
Well, didn't she give the dead trove over?
Yeah, she gave her all of it back.
Yeah, Bryce
even
gave,
the sword.
Bryce gave everything, the star sword and Nesta, everything.
It's like, I think your story, you have more to figure out
there. Yeah, and like the mask, because you know, Bryce used it, but like to give over the dead trove items over to Nesta, it's like, okay, they removed that stuff from Midgard world. Now more added more stuff to the Prithian world. So I'm like, okay, where's that gonna go?
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know. I just think that it just added just so much more to the ACOTAR world that I'm just excited. And I'm excited that the next book is going to be ACOTAR. I'm ready to get back to that story. And now I'm more excited to get back to that story.
Also, like, please give Azriel personality. Dude, like, Azriel falls so short for me, like, lately. Because it's just, like, how long can someone be like so stoic and not talk?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I like need some depth to this man, because like,
yeah, Azriel was like Nesta.
I'm like, come on, man, let's open up, dude.
No, Azriel, I get why, but like, it was almost like there was nothing to Azriel. And I get it. He was trying to be like stoic because like Bryce is like potentially an enemy and
give
here.
Nothing away. But like,
Nesta was able to still be Nesta, and you know, I don't know. To sum it up, this book will still get 5 stars for me, because I don't care. I love Sarah J. Maas and I will fucking rep it till I die. But those are all my fucking issues.
The Crescent City franchise, I think the series is worth reading. It's not the best one. It's probably now, because for a second I was like, I really love the first Crescent City book. I like it more than ACOTAR. But as a whole, like, I think this is weaker than ACOTAR. I still think Throne of Glass is her best series, then ACOTAR, then Crescent City. If you want me to, I'm going to rank the Crescent City books. The first one's the best one. I would say this one is the second best, and the second one is the worst.
That's exactly my ranking. That's how I feel about it. Please don't hurt us. No, I think when it comes to like splitting up the series, you have Throne of Glass, ACOTAR, and the Crescent City three series or Crescent City series.
I don't know why I keep saying three.
The Crescent City series. I think the cool thing is that if you've never read any of them, I can say, like, if you really like epic fantasy, Throne of Glass, that's your yeah. bread and butter right there. If you really like romanticy, ACOTAR, that's your bread and butter right there. And if you really like urban fantasy, Crescent City, that's your bread and butter right there. So, yeah. And all of them have romance and you know, an epicness to them that I think, like, if you like all those things, you're going to get a little something from each series, which I do think is really cool.
Yeah.
And cause then you're kind of like all over the roadmap there and you kind of check off all the boxes, which is super fun, but 5 stars, anything she puts out is 5 stars, but it definitely had its issues. If I had to give this a real rating, I would say this one, I don't know. I tend to be really generous in my ratings, but I would say like this is probably a 3 out of 5.
Maybe 3.5.
Yeah.
The first one for me is still 5 stars because I think the plot in that was really solid, where it was like it had a really good setup, which is like this murder mystery kind of thing, like trying to solve this murder case, mm-hmm. which I think was why it had like it was strong. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Versus I think the rest of these, like, they fell flat in that yeah. aspect with the storytelling. But, yeah, I would say that one is definitely, like, a maybe 3, maybe 3.5. Just because yeah. I'm not that critical. Like, if I can carry the vibe, oh, my God. But, like, did you feel like I was listening to this book on my, like, headphones? And, like, it's been a while since I've listened to a romance on, like, audio. And I was, like, listening. I'm just, like, I was trying to turn my headphones down so low because there were so many sex scenes in this book, in my opinion, that I was, like, damn, like, girl, like, she. I mean, there weren't, like, it wasn't overabundance. It mm-hmm. was, like, definitely in the last half. But when they were happening, I'm, like, good God, isn't the end of the world soon? Like, isn't this, aren't there a battle? Like, it's not any different than ACOTAR, but oh my God, I was like, I need to turn this down. Like, shit.
No, I didn't feel that way at all.
So worried.
I think, like, just I didn't feel that way at all, to be honest. I feel like whenever I think about, like, the spiciest Sarah J. Maas book, I think to me is still Silver Flames. But I don't know.
I just wasn't expecting this book to have so much spice in it. Because, like, once again, the stakes were so high.
Yeah.
I felt like, well, like, when they were getting tortured in the dungeon, like, did you not read the part where Hun was like, and then I thought about her.
Oh, think yeah.
about her, like, milky thigh. Like, do you know what I mean?
Bro,
like,
bro,
Bryce's
bro.
Touch. Like, no, it's no. like, dude, you're getting tortured no, right
no, no,
now.
No, no, no. It was giving Castiel vibes. Yeah, and I was
Castiel.
Like, and when, because I remember reading that part and being like,
I have PTSD from that.
Please don't do this to me. I said, please. I literally was like, please don't Castiel this motherfucker. Please don't Castiel Hunt. Thankfully, that was like the one time that happened.
Yeah. I still didn't like Hunt very much in this book, though. I think Hunt is probably one of like the lowest,
I don't know.
Like males, one of the lowest Sarah J. Maas male characters, because I think he's kind of on the weaker side for me.
I know people who love like Bryce and Hunt is like their favorite
yeah.
romance couple. People I love like Hunt. Bryce, I get it. Like,
but I think Hunt is kind of like
I don't know. I just feel like a lot of the time, like with Hunt, like even in parts throughout this, where I feel like Bryce and Hunt have reached this point of like. Where there shouldn't be barriers between them. Like, they should be able to, like, talk
yeah.
things out or communicate. I felt like they would still reach those, like, roadblocks. And I'm like, why is that here at this stage in y'all, where you guys are at? Like, I don't understand how this can be, like, even potentially a minor conflict or issue. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm different. But, but yeah. Anyway. That's Crescent City 3. That's our thoughts. We finally were able to talk about it. I was kind of gathering that you didn't like it very much. But I do think it made me excited for ACOTAR.
I didn't hate it. I just it's not the strongest one.
Well, let me ask this.
Book.
If Crescent City, I believe Crescent City is continuing, but it's not going to be with Bryce and Hunt. Are you interested in continuing it?
My question would be why? Like, what more story is there to tell? Like, Ethan's head of the wolf pack. I don't really care about Therion enough to read more about him. Like, are we just going to read more about, like, how they're trying to figure out how they're going to get electricity to work? Because it's like, if that's the plot, like, I don't really, like, there's no more
part of me felt story. Like
they defeated the big bad. What are we going to talk about now?
Well, I think part of the story there is, like, sort of this, like, new generation of young rulers from different, like, Hypaxia. You know, I mean,
I could see that, like, as like novels and like stuff, but it's not like,
yeah, exactly.
You can't go from having this like epic battle for your world and then to going into like politics.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to, this isn't going to go from a high fantasy epic to like world building to like Game of Thrones politics. Like, do you know what I mean?
The only thing is that they did leave it to where, you know, Bryce can still open a like those portals can still open. Those word gates can still open.
Still, but like they never set up. Why would Bryce open up a portal?
Exactly.
Like, where would she go, and mm-hmm. why would she go there? Uh-huh. Because like the whole reason why they had that was so they could go conquer other worlds. Bryce said she's not interested in that.
And also, just like the kill switch for their world didn't go off, so now it's like
they got rid of their kill switch,
returning to its glory. Like, they got Pegasus at the end.
Yeah, like, what more really? Like, if she wants to do some novellas, sure,
I'd go around and read the novellas for sure.
But I don't want to be like, this is Crescent City 4.
Yeah.
Like, what more is there?
Yeah, I personally, I like the world, but I would revisit it with novellas. I don't really think you need to like put out a whole fucking tome for it. I just don't. But yeah, those are our thoughts. So anyway,
the next thing is probably like the biggest thing in freaking romance fantasy news.
Yeah, which is still about Sarah J. Maas.
Sarah J. Maas news, dude. And if you're a book talk girl, you've seen this photo.
Yeah.
I know you have. If you're an ACOTAR girly, you've seen it.
I think if you're just like a fucking, if you're a book reader and a movie enthusiast, you're stoked about this.
And what we're talking about is this photo that appeared of Margot Robbie and Sarah J. Maas getting coffee at a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing is that they're meeting,
mm-hmm.
talking. Now, about what? We don't know.
Now,
we do not know.
There's
but one
been a
can
lot
only
of,
speculate.
One can only speculate. Now, here's the thing. Perhaps Margot Robbie, she says she's a reader. She likes fantasy. She likes to read fantasy. She has said this. And has she picked up ACOTAR? I imagine so. It's fucking everywhere. And maybe she's like, I'm Margot Robbie, and I would like to meet Sarah J. Maas and get coffee with her because I'm a fan, and I'm mm-hmm. rich and elite, and I can make that happen. That could be what's happening here, right? Or Margot Robbie, the billionaire producer of the Barbie movie.
Bitch.
Yeah, with Lucky Chat Productions making things like Saltburn, Barbie, you know, just being a fucking icon, was like, here's these books. Why is no one making shit? I'll be the bitch that makes the shit. And because here's the thing. I love Margot. Margot, I fucking love you. But she cannot play a fucking ACOTAR character. She's too old.
There's no way she's playing a character.
No, but I did say, and you agreed with me, that she would eat as more.
Oh, she could be more. 100%.
She could eat as more.
But there's a lot of young actresses out here that can fill these roles.
100%. I agree.
But the role I need Margot Robbie to fulfill.
Producer.
Is producer. And because she is a movie producer, my hope, dude, is that she wants to bring Throne of Glass into a movie series.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know people love TV shows.
TV series, yeah.
I know we love series. But we need the next big epic fantasy franchise. And I get it. The Lord of the Rings nerds are not going to think it's going to be Throne of Glass. Whatever. You're wrong. You're fucking wrong. But these books could be that next franchise.
I agree.
Could be the next Hunger Games, Twilight, Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, these, and I know she could do a good job with it. Like, she made fucking Barbie.
Bro, she made Saltburn!
Well, she produced it. I don't know.
Yeah, you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
You can come out as a producer if you just buy the movie. So
My point
I don't
is,
know.
She's involved. She's got involved. Her fucking fingers in the pot.
I don't know how much involved she was in Saltburn.
With Margot Robbie's fingers in the pot, I know it'll be
involved
good.
In Barbie.
I know it'll be good. If she's got a hand with the puppet strings, I know that that puppet's going to dance and it's going to look good. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. I would love it.
It's going to be made for the girls by the girls.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? Like, man should not be producing this.
Yeah. And you know,
man can be on team.
Here's the thing.
Man cannot produce solo.
You know, because we talk about this all the time. Like, why isn't this happening? It's like Reese Witherspoon started her production company and started doing her book club. And then they make movies from those books that are going mm-hmm. her book club. Like, what's that movie? Like, Where the Crawdads?
Where the Crawdads Sing.
Yeah, that one. It's like, you know, are these movies super amazing and super great? No, but they've made her a billionaire. A billionaire, and she's making movies from books, I don't know. I just think that I would love to see that, like, this lead to something, and I hope it's movies.
I really hope we get some sort of movie.
Because we've confirmed, it's been confirmed that Hulu hasn't dropped, or not Hulu, but. I guess it is Hulu, but the ACOTAR show is still in pre-production. It's still happening.
It's still happening. It's not happening fast enough.
It's still, and as far as I know, it's still happening with Hulu. But, which is fine, whatever.
It should be like on HBO or
I don't know,
one of those things. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of hope for the ACOTAR show, to be honest. Over time, I've really sort of like gotten realistic with my thoughts. I don't think it would go well, because the more I think about it and the more I understand about this series, these books and these characters and whatever, is I just generally think Throne of Glass is the meatier, better option.
Like, I think Throne of Glass has so much substance to be made into a show, but I think mostly it should be made into a movie. Like, into yeah. movies, because I just think they would have so much material to make into so many fucking movies. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, how many books are there? Like, dude, we can make these into so many fucking movies, make so much money. Mm-hmm. It has a cult-like following. There are dedicated fans to this series. It's, like, written by one of the most popular authors
mm-hmm.
in this day and age, and it's just like, please, I hope this photo is what I think it is. Can we get all of our book talk girlies, readers?
Margot Robbie, please. Hear my prayers, Margot Robbie, please.
Please produce any piece of Sarah J. Maas literature and turn it into media. Please turn it into a movie, TV show, anything. Please, 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 Lucky Chap. Please.
Please, Lucky Chap Productions. Please, please. Margot Robbie, we call on you. The Sarah J. Maas angels are singing to you. Donald Trump, please, everybody, get in here.
Everyone, please let these books be turned into movies. We need it. It will save me, the culture, everything. It will cure all of us.
That's right. It would save the culture.
It would save us. It would save us. It will deliver us into what? Bliss. Pure, unadulterated bliss.
Period. Bliss. Bliss me out.
And I really hope that's what it is. I know it won't, if it is that, it won't be happening for years. I just need one piece of like news. I think it would be so, I think Margot Robbie would do a great job with it. She does a great job with everything. Shit, she produced Barbie, one of the only female directed movies to reach $1 billion. I think if they did a freaking Throne of Glass movie, they would break that. We're begging for these movies. Why aren't they made? We're begging for these movies and TV shows. We're begging.
I feel like
the past six
podcasts has been you doing this.
Please. I talked about in our freaking Twilight video. Please. How come we can get this fucking Twilight fucking that fucking crazy ass book?
This Mormon made propaganda.
Into movies.
Yeah.
I don't care if it was on indie shooshing budget. These actors were tortured, whatever. It was the worst time of their lives. I don't care, but it got made. It got made and it became iconic. It changed the culture. It's influenced an entire generation.
Dude.
Maybe for the worse. Maybe for the better. But God damn it, why it didn't take this long?
Do you think Hunger Games has had the same impact as Twilight?
I think, yes, not on me, but I think Hunger Games was... I don't think it was as big as Twilight, but I could be wrong. But I think Twilight had more of an impact. But I know,
Hunger Games had an impact. I know impact,
and it does have like huge fans. So like, yeah. I know Hunger Games. Hunger Games is also great. It's just like different. It's not romance. It's, you know what I mean.
Well, it's different. It's dystopian. It's like
it's like a different story. It's a different story. Like Twilight is romance. It's like romance with what is this? Not fantasy. Romance with supernatural stuff.
It's paranormal romance.
It's paranormal romance, right? Hunger Games is like dystopian story. It's
paranormal with romance with romance. No plot.
No plot whatsoever.
Well, no plot whatsoever.
That's light reading, mate. Yeah. But it was like
way too light.
It was a phenomenon. Like, dude, nothing.
Yeah.
I like besides Harry Potter, obviously. I don't feel like anything like has come close to this, but I know Throne of Glass could fucking blow this out of the water, in my opinion.
I think the most recent phenomenon we've had is probably like Marvel, but like phase one Marvel.
Yeah, phase one Marvel.
And then it just went way fucking downhill after Endgame, clearly. So like we're really like, it's like, what's the next franchise? Because I wouldn't even say like...
I don't think, because it's like people like Dune.
I wouldn't even say Dune is in there. I don't think
Dune is there, dude.
It's not.
Like, we haven't had like a fucking like epic fantasy thing like Lord of the Rings like in a while.
No.
You know what I mean? Since Lord of the Rings.
Well, I mean,
and I think Dune is trying to like you can get to that
is like Game of Thrones, but even then I still think that's different.
A show. I'm talking about movies,
franchises, yeah.
I want films, brother.
Yeah. I want to go to the cinema, dude.
I want to sit down with the giant popcorn, dude.
Now here's what I will say. The marketing team for those Dune 2 buckets, they were cooking. And they were cooking with grease, bitch. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. All of us wanted that bucket. Maybe for nefarious reasons. But also, great collector's item. Good time to be like, when you can be on your shelf and when you're a grandparent, you can look at your grandkids and be like, this right here, I was there for the Dune popcorn bucket.
Did you see the SNL skit with that?
No, I haven't seen it. I need to catch up on SNL because I know Sydney Sweeney was on there.
Just watch the damn clips. Don't watch the whole show.
Okay.
On YouTube. Y'all, we just finished Avatar, The Last Airbender live action adaptation on Netflix.
Yeah, so by the time this comes out, we'll have part one up.
Part one should be up, yeah.
So you can go check that out on our channel, see us watch it. Avatar, The Last Airbender, the live action on Netflix. We finished the whole show today, actually. And I don't know. I would say, like, for me, like, in terms of, like, adaptations, like, I don't know. Maybe my feelings will change on it in a few days. Sometimes I need longer to process. But right now, I genuinely think that it was a pretty solid adaptation, like, of book one down to 8 episodes. Like, my criticism of it is that I do wish it was longer, so like more episodes. I think that they should have done like 10 or 12 episodes, maybe 10, and just to add a little bit more fluff so there could have been more character development, because I feel like a lot of characters and even the writing suffered from it because they had to shove so much into 8 episodes that there was a lot of, again, exposition dumping through dialogue, which is just like yucky. And then secondly, a lot of characters, I think, suffered from the lack of fluff where character development happens, like Katara. Mm-hmm. We missed a lot of Katara being literally the fucking pillar and backbone of Team Avatar. You know what I mean? Like, there were some cool moments with her, but I just felt like, I just hope overall, that in future seasons, that if Katara doesn't get her katussy up, I'm going to have some fucking real violent urges towards Netflix.
If they don't add back in the feminine, like, if her feminine rage is not included
exactly
in like season two, like I will be very upset. Like, mm-hmm. I'm giving them grace because it's like, this is their first season. They got to get the feet underneath of them. They got to, like, you know, new characters writing this whole, like the condensing it down. I'm going to give them a break. But if the next season, if she's not fixed, I'm going to be mad.
Yeah. I'm going to give you grace up until we reach the Northern Water Tribe. After that, Katara was Katara Ng, okay? Mm-hmm. And I need to see it in season two or we're going to have some fucking words. But
don't just make her like the goody two shoes of the group because she never was.
She never was the goody two shoes. And by God, she is not a Mary Sue.
Yeah.
And I will not see Katara turned into a Mary Sue. I just will not. I will not. I actually like am flexing with anger at the thought. Please no.
Like my thoughts overall with like with Avatar. Obviously, I was a huge fan of the animated series. When I like when we finished the series, I felt pleased. I wasn't overjoyed, but I was like, that was pretty good. I'm pleased with that. Mm-hmm. I'm pleased with how they condensed it, the little changes they've made. Am I happy with everything? No. Did it blow my freaking socks off as an Avatar fan? No.
Yeah.
Because it's like nothing is ever going to be
the OG
show. And I think that that is like going to be like all these freaking live action adaptations from like animes. Like that's always going to be their downfall because it's like when you have fans of this show, they're going to have really high expectations. But the one thing though is like I don't think fans should just like expect the show, like what they've seen in animation to be just copied over into a live action. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like
the fact that we even got like the secret tunnel guys and like Cabbage's joke, mm-hmm. like in there is like, I think a testament to that. They were trying their best to like do these callbacks to the OG cartoon for the people who would know it. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, okay, cool. I can respect that. Like they didn't have to do that, but they did. And I thought that that's cool. I don't know. I hope that it get. I don't think it was. Yeah, I'm with you right there. Like I don't think it was bad. I did enjoy it. And but am I super overjoyed and was like that's the best thing I've ever seen? No. But I don't think like I'm out here being like, because I know a lot of discourse around this stuff is like, oh, why do we need it? You know what I mean? Like, did we need this? And it's like, no. Do we need anything? Like, shut up. That's a dumb question. No, we don't fucking need it. But is it? It doesn't mean that it's not valid. You know what I'm saying? And like, I think that they did a pretty good job. I think they did a pretty good job.
I think it's like, oh, do we need it? No, we don't need it. But I think I can appreciate, like, as a fan of Avatar, yeah. I can experience this story again, told in a different format.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I actually thought that the changes that they made on how they were telling the story in the pacing, like, I get the pacing was insane. I am totally with that criticism for sure. But I do think that the changes that they made in the way that they told the story to fit the pacing was honestly, like, very well done. I have to say, like, I did not hate it. I really didn't. I was like, this is actually pretty like, see, to me, I thought I was like, oh, this is pretty good writing. But it was, I think,
with the second half, I think.
Yeah, in the second
half. Better in the first half. Like in the first half, they're just like, lore,
exposition, dump,
don't.
Yeah.
Like, here it is. Da-da-da. But like overall, I think it was good. I think like fans need to like, I was like, give it a chance.
Yeah,
like,
I think
everyone, I think some people like, they like, they've already like listened to everyone, all the critics have to say about it. And people love being super hypercritical of stuff online. It's like, but I think like from all of the, what I've heard about this show, like they've done the best they can do to like, I felt like they did pay like the proper homage to the OG series. Like, I think they did take time to like put as much as they could of what made that OG series great into this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, could they put everything into it? No, but like all the like big things, like the secret tunnel, mm-hmm. What is like Cabbage Man, like all those little things, like they made it in there. Like, mm-hmm. what made this series like fun and unique? Boomy and Aang going on the slides, like if they had just added 10 to, I mean, if they could have just made it 10 to 12 episodes, I think they could have knocked it out of the park. Like,
definitely.
With story-wise and, like, taking more time to, like, build up the story without it feeling just, like, dumped on us and, like, having to be so fast-paced. So I hope if they do, like, do season two that they, like, actually do just give it more episodes. Like, I feel like if you're going to throw so much money at something, why not just like
let it breathe a little,
breathe and like let it build up.
Because like the episode, like, yeah, like combining like Co, that spirit, mm-hmm, with like the spirit of the forest episode, it's like these are two totally different parts of book one that you're jamming together. And the way that you put it together, well done. Like, you did it pretty well, but it's a lot happening. It's, yeah, a lot happening. And I did think that those episodes are really strong, but if you would have just given it time to breathe and not jam everything so close, like, I still think we would have, you know, it's like, did Ko and the forest spirit need to be in the same thing? And it's like, you get taken to the fucking, you know, Aang gets taken prisoner and then he has to go back. And it's like
spirit world stuff, which is like, oh, by the way, spirit world.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
when actually the spirit world had like, was a huge thing with the Avatar franchise. Like, it's like the other half of the Avatar. It's like, yes, they deal with the material, but then there's like this whole like spiritual world element,
yeah,
that is also like really important in a and lot of the events.
That's why I'm kind of like a little shook about the Ko and the forest spirit being so close together, because the forest spirit one, where it's the panda spirit, mm-hmm, when they go there, that's when they learn about, that's when he like Aang talks to,
and even the owl dude was like thrown in there.
The spirit of knowledge was there, and I was like, what the fuck is he doing here?
Like, he didn't even
need
to be there.
Like, he's book two, right?
Even he was there for the exposition. If you think,
yeah,
about it,
he was
like,
just there for exposition.
The spirit world is,
yeah,
kind of weird. It's like, we get it. The spirit world's kind of weird.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, if they would have, because that episode, the Spirit of the Forest episode, is a two-parter in book one in the OG cartoon. And that is what sets up the spirit world. And it sets up the next step of Aang going to the Fire Temple to, mm-hmm, commune with Roku. Yeah. It sets up all that shit. And then later on, when they get into the swamp, I didn't get my swamp boys. I didn't get my swamp enders. And I really wanted that. I needed that. But that's when they go to the tree, and that's when they talk to Ko and they talk to Abba. And it's like, you know, that shit, that's why the OG cartoon is like, this story is so elaborate and there's a lot of fluff, but in that fluff is world building, character development. And that's what was really missing from the live action. But am I sitting here saying that was hot garbage, you can never make that again? Like, no, I genuinely thought that it was a great adaptation. I'm excited for more. And I hope that the creators and the people are listening to this criticism and taking it into the next season, because that is what I would like to see. In fact, I don't want you to cut it down. And I would like you to make it longer, 10 to 12 episodes. Yeah. I want to see more character development, especially as we go further in the story and you're going to introduce more characters like Toph, you know, Azula, Ty Lee, May. You got a lot of characters.
A lot going on.
You're not going to be able to jam all that into 8 episodes and have me care, babe.
Yeah, dude.
Especially with the amount of story that we're about to like be really cooking up, because it's going to get really even more intense. Because if you think about it, the Avatar story is... It seems like quite a long time, but it's really not. I think the whole story, because
a few months,
it's, yeah, like from the time, yeah, when Sozin's comment comes, like he,
it's like summer.
No,
like,
it's,
do you
like,
know what I mean?
It's like literally like the end, like going into winter. So it's like Aang gets like uncovered in the fall or like beginning of winter. And then Sozin's comment comes at the end of summer the next, mm-hmm, year. So, yeah. Anyway, we just went on and on and on about some real nerdy shit. But, yeah, I did like it. And I just think, like, another thing is that I'm really sick of, that I just really need to say and get off my chest, is that I'm just so sick of seeing people be so hypercritical just for the sake of it. I'm like, I think it's fine to have your own opinion, but I genuinely do feel like a lot of people, like, sometimes I wonder, like, are we watching the same thing? Like, seeing people how, like, I literally see, like, headlines, like, once again, Netflix creates an adaptation that is not loyal to the blah, blah, blah. And I was like, guys, they honestly, even kept the music. The music was,
yeah,
the same
the
from the original
so
show. Like, the orchestral version of Leaves on the Vine, I haven't stopped listening to it. Even doing the credit song, they bring back the credit songs.
Put that, like, on the club, dude.
Bruh.
Drop that in the club.
All right, that's it. Once again, we're going way over time.
I just think people need to give it a chance. Don't fucking listen to anyone before you go and watch something.
Hey guys, it's okay. It's okay to have your own opinions. Like I am one
of you. If you watched and you hated it, that's fine. But don't tell someone. Don't watch someone say they hated it. Go in and say you hate it.
I saw this TikTok of this girl. She's like, she was like, one of my favorite things about going to the movies is then after going to the movies is that I go on YouTube and I watch a video about the movie. And I was like, and I was like, I am totally, I get that. Like I love seeing people's takes and or video essays on whatever, whatever. On the media that I'm watching, but I do genuinely like over on our channel, it's like I feel like we really try to maintain, like, if you fucking hated it and you put that in the comments, I'm not gonna bully you.
Yeah,
like I'm totally fine if you hate what I love,
but just don't hate on me for liking.
Yeah, exactly. It's like people can have their own opinions and people can like different things. I thought Avatar The Last Airbender from Netflix, I gave it 4 out of 5 stars.
Yeah,
I think it's 4 to 5. I think it was a feat of CG. I mean, I think they fucking really, I was really impressed with a lot of it, for real. Mm-hmm. Just there were some issues, and that's okay. That doesn't mean it just, everyone involved deserves to die. So yeah.
I don't know who you watch on the internet. They're like, burn it.
No, literally people are like, they destroyed Katara. And I'm like, Katara, yeah, you know, I
don't know why I have to make people make it so like serious. It's like, yeah, they didn't do that great of a job.
They didn't do that great of a job.
It's not like it's they not destroyed like, her fucking character.
They destroyed Katara. It's like also, dude, this
Katara,
is
Katara exists in another format.
True.
And she's doing the same thing she was when she was a cartoon. Same thing that she was doing. And if people are not happy with this version of Katara, they can go watch the original version of Katara.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's because like, even, she's not destroyed.
Even some of the scenes, that's the other thing, because I'm like, are we watching the same thing? Because even some of the scenes are like one for one. Like lines. Word for word. Like one for one from the scene to the show.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, like, so what's the problem? Like, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I definitely gave my grievances about Katara, but yeah, anyway. Just don't turn her into a Mary Sue. And like I said, I think I'm going to give him grace for this season with Katara just because of, I think, more of Katara's character growth and, like, what is considered deemed more important of her character arc is in like book 2.
I agree, because like her the first part of her story is just her trying to learn waterbending
and getting over getting over that block that is affecting her bending, like the grief and all that.
But that even carries in grief into. Is not just a one part of the situation. Do you know what I mean? It's just not one thing.
Yeah,
and it stays with her. But yeah, I really hope they can do her a bit better. Like, I think that was my biggest thing with it.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think it was great. It was entertaining. It was watchable.
You know my other issue is they didn't feed into my Zutara DeLulu fantasy.
They did for like once. I thought for a second they were gonna feed into it more.
When
he
grabs her scarf, I said, "Don't you fucking do this to me unless you're gonna." But then when she didn't drop her necklace and that whole necklace bit didn't happen, I was like, oh, "Okay, I don't think they're gonna feed into this." Because
maybe another book.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? No, don't. Because no.
You're like,
I don't need to anymore.
Like every time I watch one of those edits, it's just like too much.
When you know, you know. All right, I gotta go. All right, guys. Trashlings, thank you so much for being here. Let us know your thoughts down below on everything we talked about. And yeah, we're happy to be back. Be sure to send us your demon trash moments, any topics you want us to cover in the next one, any funny TikToks, any silly videos you'd like to DM me, shoot them over. Come on. Let me see what you got. All right, guys. Bye.
What do you only like boring TikTok?
I like finance bro TikTok.